Heavenly Father, as we receive your word today, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that Christ may come and cleanse us from all that makes unclean. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you think is the best thing that could happen to you today? Or perhaps more specifically, what do you think is the best thing that could happen for you as you attend worship here at Bethlehem today? These are simple questions, but are the answers to these questions simple? Do we necessarily know what in fact is best for us? Well, as we get into today's sermon, let's put ourselves in the shoes of the money changers, of the people selling cattle, sheep and doves in the temple, the people we heard about in today's gospel reading. Let's ask ourselves the question, what's the best thing that could have happened for them on the day that Jesus came into the temple? Let's put ourselves in their shoes. It's early in the morning, they're walking to the temple. It's Passover time, it's festival time. There are a lot of people, there'll be large crowds that day. And they're thinking ahead, no doubt, about what a good day would be, about the best day they could have. No doubt in their minds, it would have included things like getting on well with the landlords, the temple administration, getting on well, no doubt, also with their fellow traders. And no doubt in their own minds, a good day, perhaps the best day, would have been making a good, healthy profit as well. Now perhaps they had a twinge of conscience about the probity of trading in the temple, but after all, their fellow traders were doing it too. And also the temple administrators seemed to have no problem with it, and in the end, the customer is never wrong. There are people who used what they offered, this trading. But then Jesus comes along and he violently expels them from the temple. Was that, in fact, the best thing that could have happened for them? Well, it all depends on who Jesus is. Today, from God's word, I'll be proclaiming that Jesus is the one who has authority to cleanse what is defiled. That when he does his cleansing work, he brings true and lasting good. I will be proclaiming that through Jesus' death and resurrection, he's revealed as the one where God resides, and that when he comes to us, he has the authority to cleanse us from all that would make us unclean, to make even our bodies fit temples of the Holy Spirit, places where God is glorified. Let's listen to how this reading begins. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Three times in John's Gospel, Jesus goes up to Jerusalem for the Passover. He goes up because Jerusalem is indeed in hill country. For us, on a map, it would look as if he goes down. They are thinking literally. He goes up to Jerusalem. And the understanding that Jesus' ministry was for 3 years evidently chiefly comes from John's Gospel, and the recitation that he came to Jerusalem, went up there three times. This is recorded in John. Listen to what it says then. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at the tables. This is simply recorded by the evangelist with no particular comment of his own. John doesn't tell us what he thinks about this. But we are about to find out what Jesus thinks about it, both in his actions first of all, and then in his words. Listen. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." First of all, did you note that Jesus makes a whip from cords? This takes time and thought and skill. It's a deliberate, cool, thought-out act that signals clearly intention, that Jesus has a plan. Then, equipped with the whip, he acts. Now, different English translations take what happens in different ways. Our translation has it that with the whip, he drives out the sheep and the cattle. But other translations give the picture that he drives the people out along with the sheep and the cattle. Now, I'm inclined to this latter translation from the Greek. Apparently, it can be taken in different ways. So you will read different translations in English, like the ESV, for example, that he's driving everyone out, human beings as well as animals. However we take it, it's a dramatic and a violent action. Now again, we find in the Gospels that Jesus is not nice, that he is not tame, and that he is not restrained by the need to fit in. Jesus is not nice in the Gospels. He's good. Jesus is not tame in the Gospels. He is courageous. And he is not restrained in the Gospels, but acts as the one who has authority. It doesn't stop just with driving out these animals and perhaps also these people with a whip. He pours out the coins of the money changers and overturns their tables. Now, can you picture this in your mind's eye? Money being poured out in a crowded place. If you've lost your money, and there's a lot of people around, you see it rolling around or blowing around, you're very concerned to get it back, aren't you? Maybe you've seen other people scamper around, especially in a crowded place when the money is being dispersed. The text does not picture in detail what happens here, but we have experiences that can help us meditate on what is going on in the text. Are people indeed trying to swoop in at this place and collect? Well, on top of it all, however we picture it, Jesus orders the dove sellers out as well. And he rebukes them for turning what he calls his father's house, the temple, into a marketplace. He rebukes them for profaning the holy, for defiling what belongs to God. Sometimes we can have the idea that Jesus was against the temple or against the priesthood. But that's not the picture that emerges from the Gospels. Here is a good example of it. He calls the temple his father's house. He loves the place of God's gracious presence. Notice how the reading goes on. Jesus' disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Well, eat me up. Now, this is a quote from Psalm 69, a psalm that is quoted a lot in the New Testament. Read the psalm at your leisure. You will become familiar with many things that are quoted in the Gospels and in the epistles. For Jesus' disciples, as for us, the Old Testament helps us understand who Jesus is. But knowing about Jesus also reveals to us the meaning of the Old Testament, that it is, in fact, ultimately about Jesus. I'll say that again, that the Old Testament is, in fact, ultimately about Jesus, especially about his atoning death, about his resurrection, about his victory over death and the grave. So in the church, when we proclaim the Old Testament, we are also proclaiming Christ. Now, the focus on Jesus' death and resurrection is at play in what happens next in our text. The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" Now the Jewish authorities want to know what right Jesus has to be acting with such violence in the precinct of the temple. By what authority does he do this dramatic and indeed memorable action? What right does he have to command and rebuke and to cleanse? Well, the answer that Jesus gives is mystifying to the authorities because they think he is talking about the temple building. But, as the text goes on to say, he was speaking about the temple of his body. Now, evidently, not even Jesus' disciples knew what he meant. They had a journey ahead of them. They would take them with Jesus on the path to his cross. And it was only by taking this path with Jesus to the cross and encountering him in his resurrection that they would begin to understand what happened on the day when he cleansed the temple. This is how the reading, in fact, concludes. After Jesus was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. From the vantage point of the resurrection, the disciples could go back, and in remembering what happened that day, and in particular the words also that Jesus had spoken, they believed the scriptures about Jesus. They believed the words that Jesus had spoken. They believed, and we along with them also believe. They believed, and we believe, that Jesus is the one who has authority from God to cleanse what belongs to God, to cleanse it of all that would make it unclean, of all that would profane and defile. They believed, and we believe with them, that it's through the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus, the Lamb of God, that our sins and the sins of the world are taken away. Today, the best thing that can happen to us, the best thing that can happen to us today and here at Bethlehem as we meet together, is for Jesus to come to us and to cleanse us from those things from which we cannot clean ourselves, from the things which come out of our heart and defile us. He cleanses us with his gracious word of forgiveness and peace, a word that has power to overturn and to drive out all that would make us unclean. Today, don't be afraid to agree with Jesus, to confess that there are things that defile you, things that you need to be cleansed from, because he comes to you to cleanse and to restore and to heal. Jesus comes to us in this way. Jesus is good. He's not tame. He's courageous with us. And he acts in an unrestrained way. We can trust him to do what we can't trust ourselves to do, to cleanse us out and to make even our bodies fit places for the Holy Spirit, temples of the Holy Spirit, where God may be glorified. Our hope today is in Christ Jesus, He is not dead. He is here among us. He has authority from God. That he is shown on the cross. That he is shown on the resurrection. That he shows by giving his word of forgiveness and peace now. Oh, may God always give us the grace to welcome our Lord Jesus Christ so that his work is done in our lives, so that we together grow as a congregation, so that the best thing that can happen for us today is Jesus' work in our lives. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.